Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Thursday morning, so we are talking about knowing God, being able to hear His voice, being able to test what we hear, and then having the confidence that we need in order to move forward on what we've heard. This is the basis of our relationship with Him, because we have to have the confidence that He's real, that He's speaking to us, and that we can know Him now. And since this is His desire, we can move with confidence, knowing that He will give us the training and the guidance and the opportunity to achieve our common goal. We've been talking about supernatural experiences, and we've been talking about physical manifestations. Now, in the spirit, you already know Him. It's in the spiritual realm. But in the natural realm, we often don't recognize Him. And in the supernatural realm, we have yet to have our senses tuned. So that's what our focus is on first, primarily, and that is to be able to discern God in our using our supernatural senses. And we also are open to Him revealing Himself as a spirit being to our solical senses and our natural senses. So basically what we want to be able to do is let God reveal Himself any way He chooses. So when we think that He's not interested in speaking to us now, or that He's already said everything He's going to say, think about that. God's already said everything He's going to say. Isn't that kind of like saying we know best? We know more? Isn't God able to speak for Himself now? To think that He's going to put off, or that we make conclusions about what He means by anything, just seems kind of presumptuous, that we're going to try to tell Him, we're going to draw conclusions and not give Him an opportunity to speak for Himself. So right now what we're talking about is the Lord's visits. And what we mean by that is that in any way He chooses, God reveals Himself. And we've talked before about the distinction between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that in many ways that distinction is in order to communicate to us in terms and in faculties that we understand, but that those aren't necessarily the actualization of who He is. It's a representation of who He is. For instance, when we were growing up, we may have pictured Father God as you know, an old man with a long white flowing beard sitting on a throne. And when we think of the sun, we may think of a Jewish man hanging on a cross with long hair and a long beard, or maybe not. But we've all, and then the Holy Spirit as, you know, something without form. And, you know, much more of a presence rather than an actual person. And what we do is we have formed our own ideas about who and what God is. And that's fine where we for a starting point. What we don't want to do is say that that's the sum total of who God is. That because this is the image that was formed, or the image that we have, that it is an accurate representation. That your thoughts, your imagination, your memory is an accurate representation of who God is. Just by virtue of our mind being incapable of the perception, an accurate perception of who God is. We're just not there yet. And even encounters within the scriptures and the Old Testament especially, encounters with God, attempts at describing him were, you know, beyond their capability. And what we've done very often is taken that attempt and tried to read into that attempt to describe him, drawing conclusions. And that's what we don't want to do on our own, is presume that given the limited information that we're ever given at any given time, that we can draw accurate conclusions. This is why we have certain beliefs about heaven, hell, eternity, everlasting, you know, life, death, you know, the soul, and spirit, and even our bodies. You know, the concept of time, of eternity. And we don't want to presume that we have enough information to draw conclusions, because just simply we don't. The best way then to approach knowing God is not going to be based on getting enough information. Instead, it's to allow him to reveal himself in whatever way he chooses, and to pursue him. And what that pursuit is, you know, God, first of all, God is perfectly capable of revealing himself to us without our pursuing him. And that's very often what he does, is he interrupts our lives to make himself known. But once that happens, he wants to be wanted. And we don't value what costs us nothing. And God wants us to value him. He wants us to be willing to put in the effort, the time and attention and energy that we would, that would express and reflect our value of him. So when, for instance, when we make an appointment with, say, your dentist, odds are you're there on time, maybe even early. And when they make you wait, you understand that and you just wait for your turn. Now, how many of us make a time commitment to meet with God and yet don't keep that appointment? There's a reflection there of our priorities, our values. And our perceptions of reality. You know, a dentist or doctor is on our level. We understand that. We understand what's going on there. So it's more relatable. But God wants to change that. He wants to be more relatable than keeping a doctor's appointment or interviewing for a job. You're going to be there on time, hopefully, if you really want the job. You're going to find out what's necessary to get the job and then bring it to your interview. So with God, we want to find out what it is we need to do. And that's going to be an individual circumstance, depending on where each one of us are. God may be speaking to you about something totally different than he's speaking to me. And vice versa, and on and on. So it's not that there's an expectation of who God is as far as comparing your situation and circumstance to mine. He doesn't change. But you are different from me. Your history, your experience is different than my history and experience. And so we want to be able to let God reveal himself any way he chooses. So getting down to some practical experiences that we want to ask God, is this something you want me to be pursuing you about? And again, this is not about, okay, here's five things, do these five things, and this will be the results. The goal is relationship with God. And you develop that relationship through the process, not by achieving the results. So what are the Lord's visits? When we are referring to the ways, the variety of ways in which God makes himself known to us personally, to you as an individual, he makes himself known to either our natural senses or our supernatural senses. And again, your natural senses, for instance, your sight, you being able to see, you have supernatural or solical senses that God wants to tune as well. He does this for a variety of reasons, but it will always be to draw attention to himself and not the manner of his revealing. So we, when something happens, we want to be aware of God, of what God is speaking to us, rather than be distracted by the manner in which he reveals himself. We can take note, but don't be distracted. And as he visits, don't assume you know how to respond or interpret what he is doing or saying. There's only one way to properly and accurately interpret and respond to the Lord's visits, and that's by asking him at the time or and later after the fact. God himself will explain himself. This is what this means, and this is how this worked. Now, another interesting thing about this is that if someone can have the exact same experience, and God will give a different explanation, and that's his right. We aren't going to draw conclusions about the way God reveals himself. He can do it however he wants, and we are not going to say, because he did this and said that, and that's what, you know, my friend's experience was like, and her conclusion was thus and so, so my conclusion is going to be thus and so. No, that's not, it's not true. Your accurate interpretation and response will be what God says. This is where we get into trouble with, like, dream interpretation, especially, and looking for signs and symbols. When we look at what we've experienced as truth in itself, we are looking to our own understanding to interpret that. So allow God to reveal himself. This is really what we're learning. The having our senses tuned and being aware and open to his moving, that's a bonus. Our main purpose is to depend on God, to hear from him, to develop the habit of letting him speak for himself. God, is this you? And what are you saying to me? So we start with accepting and desiring physical manifestations. Those are the way God makes himself known in the natural realm. And if you look around with your natural eyes, that's your natural realm. So God may choose to make himself known to us in ways that are apparent to our natural senses. Sight, hearing, taste, touch, and smell. And now, again, God wants you to want these experiences. So it's good, it's fine to ask the Lord to make himself known in these ways. But even more important is to become habitually aware that he may choose this avenue. In other words, when you smell something odd or different or it catches your attention, ask God, is that you, Lord? Or when you feel a presence, or when you maybe are cold, or you feel you rub up against something and it feels strange, always be asking God, is that you? A natural manifestation is no more significant or trustworthy than any other way he makes himself known. So, say if, you know, God himself appears to you and you can see him with your natural eyes. And the day before, you had felt a strong sense of his presence internally. And you just could hear him speak to you. One is not any more significant or reliable than the other. Okay? They all these experiences have to be checked and have to be tested. And one is not more reliable or trustworthy than the other. And lately, especially, you know, in the past few decades with some of these, you know, movements, that's really been a problem because people have had, because they've been open, they've been having more interesting experiences. Going to heaven or having angelic beings come here. And what angels have said or been examples of have been interpreted as reality. Likewise, these other experiences, maybe traveling to heaven and hell and throughout the universe or throughout the world, has been interpreted as this is the way the supernatural realm works. Well, these experiences may contain elements of reality, but they may also have been crafted by God to encapsulate something else God wants to do. And the only way to know is to ask. And we never want to presume that when this happens, this is what this means. When God sends an angel, this is why. First of all, we need to check that it's from him. You know, we want to be focused on the outcome, the goal being depending on God, not having the experiences. Having these experiences is the root, is part of the process to knowing him. So we take everything to him and let him speak to us about that experience. Now we do enjoy it, enjoy those experiences. Enjoy them. That's what God gave them for, is to entice you to ask for more. And remember that when God does reveal himself through these manifestations to the in the physical realm, God himself is enjoying the process. So we want to enjoy what God is enjoying. So it's okay to be excited, to be, you know, floored, but to be, you know, exuberant, to be frightened, to be overwhelmed, to react. Whatever your reaction is fine. But don't draw conclusions. Now, through this process, we'll likely be sharing some experiences in hopes that they will trigger a thirst and a hunger for you to have your own experience. And also to see the diversity and the simplicity of the ways in which God communicates. You may look back and be thinking, oh, now I know what that means. Now I know what that was. I've had that. Or you may be thinking, well, that's too simple. I've been there, done that. You've got nothing to teach me. Well, then fine. You come in, you call in, and or you write in, and you tell us about your experience. Because the goal is, it's not a competition. We're not going to be able to gauge anyone's level of spiritual maturity based on the extravagance or so-called level of their experience. One does not mean have any bearing on another. But what those experiences are to do by sharing these experiences is to encourage each other to want more. God wants to be wanted. And when we say, well, if God wanted me to have it, I'd have it. Guess what? You have it. You're just not using it. God wants to be wanted. So these experiences and the diversity and the variety and the need for God interpreting it for himself. They're not meant to, he gives us these experiences not to project a standard or establish guidelines. You know, when you fast and pray, this is how God reacts. Or when you wait for him, or you sacrifice other activities, or when you do this, that, or the other thing, this is what happens. Each of us has a unique experience with God awaiting us that he wants us to have. And whatever that is, we want to want it. So as we start getting into the particulars, we want to allow God to be the God. We want to let him be the one to decide whether we're hearing him, whether we are experiencing him on the terms that he wants to reveal himself. As God does this, as God quickens our senses, it will also affect our senses towards the natural realm not related to God. So just be thinking in terms of this is an adventure. But what you're doing is you're learning how to be truly who you are. You are a spirit being, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So it's not that you're trying to be something more than who you are now. It's who you've become, who you've come to see yourself is only a small part of who you really are. And that's what we're looking for, is to be able to live in this world, take advantage of the opportunities here on this earth, to learn how to live as a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. And we do that by taking the opportunities that God presents to us and then depending on him. So we'll get into details. Start getting into details next Thursday We'll meet again on Saturday at 9. Until then, have a great week. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio, and thanks for tuning in.